And you guys can have a seat. If I haven't met you before, my name is Caleb Beetz. I am one of the pastors here on staff and have the privilege of preaching on Wednesday nights. So glad that you're here. If you're joining us for the first time tonight, you're kind of jumping into the second sermon of a series we're doing called Abiding. So abiding in Christ, and we can abide in Christ through doing different things. And so this sermon series is going to be one that's very practical, giving us applications of how it looks to live a life that is abiding in Christ. And so the first week we talked about why we should want to abide in Christ and what we gain from abiding in Christ, and God being this vine by which we are connected to that gives us life and allows us to produce fruit from abiding in the vine. And so then I wanted us to jump in this week of what it looks like to abide in Christ through his word, and so through the scriptures. The first thing that I want to cover is the idea of why should someone read their Bibles? And then the second half, we're going to cover how to read your Bible. And so there'll be some very practical things that we'll talk through together in that. But as we jump into this idea of abiding in God's word, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 119. We're going to be spending most of our time in Psalms 119 tonight. As you're turning there, I started thinking through kind of what the Bible provides for us. And for some of you, this may make a lot of sense. For some of you, it may not make any sense, and that's okay. I'm going to use the illustration anyways. How many of you have played video games before? Just raise your hand if you played video games. Okay, great. When I was growing up, video games were kind of taking off, and in my youth, one of the best consoles that you could have was a Nintendo 64. So how many of you have played Nintendo 64? Okay, a lot more of you than I thought. That's great. So in my mind, the number one game for Nintendo 64 was GoldenEye. I thought it was amazing. It was one of the first like real shooter games that you could get. And I had these friends that were really, really good at GoldenEye, and they showed me how to implement all of these cheat codes. And when you put the cheat codes into the game, like, you could become invincible. Nobody could kill you. There was like codes where you could be invisible. There were codes where you have unlimited ammunition. Like, when you had the cheat codes in, it was awesome because you could do whatever you want. Nobody could stop you. And it made the game really, really easy. And I feel like the Bible provides us with almost like this idea of the cheat codes of life. When we live our lives according to the Bible, it gives us this access into a life that otherwise is impossible. And I would say that it gives us access into this world with God where we become untouchable, where it doesn't matter what happens around us. It doesn't mean that things bad aren't going to happen. It's when they do happen, we have this relationship with God through the Bible that gives us guidance in what to do and how to navigate life's waters, whether good or bad. And so in this idea of why we should read the Bible, Psalms 119 provides all kinds of different reasons of why. And so let's start just in verse 1, and we'll read 1 through 5. It says this: "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping with your statutes." And then if you jump to Psalms 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so there's this idea that the Bible provides for us the way in which we should walk. And if we walk according to the way the Bible has commanded us, it says that our life will be blessed, that we are blessed if we do this. And some of you may say, "Well, I don't feel very blessed, and I've been trying to walk the way the Bible has commanded me to." And we'll get to that idea in just a minute. But I promise you, regardless of the situation that you're in, if you didn't have the Bible or if you didn't have your relationship with God, then wherever you are at would be significantly more difficult without it than it would be with it. And so you can truly call yourself blessed because of the ability to gain God in whatever situation you're in. And just the reality that the Bible has answers to all of our problems. The Bible gives direction and this pathway that we should walk, whether that be relationships that we have, how we should work, how we should, thank you very much, how we should be in our marriages, what our friendships should look like, how to raise children, how to live a life free from idolatry. The Bible gives us all of these directions as far as how we should live our lives in any and every circumstance and situation. The Bible is very valuable and should be, and is one of the reasons why we should read it. So let's keep on reading in Psalms 119, picking up in verse 6. It says this: "Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." We won't be put to shame. There's this reality that with God, we win, right? When we live according to the way that the Bible has called us to, it's almost like we have this guaranteed success. And I'm not saying that everything in your life will be successful, but there's a way to leverage life and to leverage things that does guarantee your success. And there's not a lot of things in this world that you can say you're guaranteed success in. Like, as I was thinking through this, what, you know, like the infomercial style thing of say, if you do this, you'll get this, like it's guaranteed, and they try to guarantee all of these things, whether that's like a diet, if you do this certain diet, you'll lose weight, or if you read this self-help book, you won't struggle with depression anymore, or if you do this workout, you'll get these kind of gains, if you do these things for your spouse, then this will be the response. Like, these are the things that I think life tries to give us these guarantees of success in, when they really can't guarantee them at all. And you may say, well, Caleb, the Bible talks about a lot of the things that you just listed and tells us to live a certain way in accordance to those things, but that doesn't also guarantee success in those areas, right? Success in your friendships, success in your relationships, even success in raising children are not guaranteed, even if you do follow the Bible. But what is guaranteed is that it says that we will not be put to shame. It doesn't matter what the situation, it doesn't matter what the circumstances. If we follow what God has commanded us to follow, we gain him, and we are guaranteed that, whether that's through our life or even in our death. And so there's the guarantee with following the Bible, is we're guaranteed not to be put to shame, which means we will gain the Lord. Let's keep on reading, picking up in verse 9. "How can a young man keep his commandments? I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Bible is the only book that gives us freedom from sin. The Bible is the only book that can actually change our heart's desires and give us true freedom. We've talked about this idea a lot together on Wednesday nights in particular, that freedom from sin is a changing in our desires. Because you're not free from something if you want that thing and that's all you want, you can't have it. That's not called freedom. That's almost basically called torture. Freedom is when your desires have changed and you no longer desire the thing you did desire, but you desire that which is good. You desire God and you desire the Lord. And as I started thinking through, okay, are there other programs or are there other things out there or even books out there that try to say they can give you freedom from something that would maybe be considered sinful? The first thing that I thought of was like the 12-step program, the alcoholism, the AA thing. And so I have never looked up what that is. And so I looked it up and I started reading through the different steps. And I was honestly really surprised by how much weight they put on believing in a higher being, believing in something that is greater than themselves, and believing that whatever that thing is, that thing can change them. The crazy thing is they talk about God and they talk about having this relationship with a God, but they don't tell you anywhere in the steps how to do that. But they know that left to themselves, they cannot change. They cannot change the desire that they have, that something greater than them has to do that for them, but they're trying to do it without the Bible, which is really ironic, because the Bible is what tells us how to be in relationship with God so that God can change our lives, so that God can set us free from our sins. And if we don't have the Bible, that becomes very difficult. So in why we should read the Bible, because it allows us to be in relationship with God in such a way that we can become free from our sins. Let's keep reading. Now, I'm going to kind of jump to get where we need to get, but Psalms 119, 107 says this: I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. The Bible is the only book that can promise life. And specifically, in a place where you would say that you are severely afflicted. Right? If you find yourself in a place of severe affliction, you can't go to any other book, you can't go to any other place to find life. Life is only found in God. And the Bible is the roadmap, is the pathway by which we find that life, right? We find that relationship with God. Hebrews 4:12 says this: For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so there's an aspect of the Bible that we can go to the Bible and allow it to show us who we truly are. Not only does it give us this life, it improves our life by cutting deep to the soul of who we are and changing who we are. It's the only thing that can discern our thoughts and show us. It's the only book that truly, as you read it, it reads you. It becomes this mirror that we get to look into, James calls it. And we get to look into it, and it shows us our imperfections. It shows us our impurities. It shows us what we need to change so that we can gain more of the Lord, so that we can live a blessed life, so that we can have the things that God has promised to us. And we find all of that in the Bible. And so hopefully, with what we're reading and with what I'm saying, reading the Bible is something that now is starting to have a value to it. It's starting to maybe encourage you or create a desire within you to want to read it more. And the psalmist even talks about that in particular. In Psalms 119, verse 13, he says this: In the way of your testimony, I delight as much as in all riches. If you jump 100 verses forward, or more than 100, in verse 127, it says, Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Whenever we read the Bible and we start to see what the Bible actually has and can provide for us, there should be a value that is placed on it that is greater than any other thing that we can tangibly have, right? The Bible to us should be more valuable than riches. The Bible to us should be more valuable than gold. It should carry this value to our lives that we should want to read it. If you value something, you're going to do it, right? Or you're going to pursue it, or you're going to spend time with it, whatever that thing may be or person may be. If you value them, you're going to give your life to them. If you value the word of God, like the psalmist is saying here, then you would most likely read it. And then the things that are in the Bible become this, what the psalmist is going to say, a sweetness to you, instead of it being like this bitter thing, bitter pill that you have to swallow. In verse 103 of Psalms 119, it says, How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So as we fall in love with God's word, there's this sweetness that happens within us as we're eating of it, as we're consuming it and reading it, that what God is calling us to do is not this bitter, like, submission that we have to follow what God is saying, but rather there's a sweetness to it of we want to live out the things that the Bible's telling us to live because of what it provides for us in our relationship. I know I'm going really fast, but there's a lot to cover still. So hopefully going through that is creating a value for you of what, just some of what the Bible can provide for us, looking at Psalms 119. We could spend all night if we went through all of the Bible to show all of the value and all of the things that can be had by reading the Bible. But now I want to talk more specifically on how to do this, how to read our Bibles. And I think that there's a lot of different ways that you can approach this, but there's some certain things that have to be in place, I believe, for you to successfully read your Bibles. And so Psalms 119 has things to say about this, but there's all kinds of stuff all throughout the Bible. So we're going to be jumping all over the place, and I'll do my best to keep you in line with me as we're jumping all over the Bible to figure this out. But the first thing that you have to understand about the Bible is this is one collective story. The Bible is not all of these different stories that don't merge together and don't have a fluid story. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, the Bible is telling one story, and that is the redemption of God. And so you've got creation. God creates everything perfect. We see that in Genesis. And then you have the fall. And from there on, it's all about God's redemption of his creation. You have Christ coming onto the scene, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And then from there, it's about the church and the church progressing because of the second coming of Christ. The whole story in the Bible is about the redemption that God has for his people. And so you don't pick little things out of it and just take some of the Bible and not the rest of it. It's one fluid story that is over 66 different books. And so as you're reading it, you have to read it within the context of that story. Don't pull things out of that context and isolate them, but rather use the whole story to interpret. The Bible will interpret itself in that story. All right. Psalms 119, this is the way that I think that we have to approach the Bible even before we begin to read it. Verse 18 says this, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law." The law is the Bible, right? Specifically, the law is the Old Testament. But we need to ask God to illuminate our hearts and our minds as we're reading the Bible. Don't get that word confused with inspiration. God inspired the Bible, and that's how we know that we are reading God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So all scripture is breathed out by God. That's the inspiration of the Bible. That's how we have the Bible. God breathed out into men to write the Bible. He inspired them to write, and we have the Bible. Now, today, God no longer inspires, he illuminates. And so as we read, we need to ask God to open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things from his law. And so before you read your Bible, ask God to speak to you. Ask God to show you like a mirror the areas that you're weak, the areas that you need to grow. Ask God to convict you as you read your Bible. And I think that that can happen successfully if we follow more instruction from Psalms 119. Going to verse 15 and 16, he says this, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." When you ask God to open up to you and illuminate to you the scriptures, don't do that. Don't read and him speak to you and then you just move on from it. There needs to be an aspect of meditation that happens as you're reading the Bible. As God is speaking to you, meditate on the words that he is saying to you. Don't just read and move on. And I think there's some very practical things that you can do for meditation. Journaling is a very, easy way for you to meditate on the things that God is speaking to you about. And so I would encourage you very practically to journal. As you're reading, write down things that you think God is saying to you. Write down what you feel like you need to change and the things that God is revealing. I think that you need to meditate through prayer. As God reveals things to you, begin to pray and ask God to help you with those things. Ask God to show you what you need to change in accordance to what God has just shown you. And then I think that there's a form of meditation that can take place with others. Going to others and having them help you interpret what you've read and help you apply what it is that God has revealed to you. But please don't just read the Bible and then check it off the list as in you got it done. Read the Bible, ask God to illuminate things to you, and as he does, meditate on those things. The next thing I think we need to do with the Bible, and a lot of us are guilty of not doing this, is what verse 11 in Psalms 119 says, and it says this, "I have stored up your words in my heart that I might not sin against you." I think we need to memorize the Bible. We need to store up in our minds and in our hearts God's word. A lot of us will use the excuse that we don't need to memorize anymore because we have our Bibles on our cell phones. We have our Bibles with us everywhere we go. And so we have moved away from, I'd say pretty collectively, this idea of memorizing the scriptures. And your phone with a Bible on it in your pocket does not translate to you knowing it and believing it in your heart. We need to hide God's word in our heart. We need to memorize. And don't use the excuse, I can't memorize things. I have a four-year-old son who has already successfully memorized, I think, close to 7 verses, maybe 8 verses, and he's put them in his heart, right? He can do, if he can do it, any of us can do that. And it's a practice that we need to have in our lives and in our hearts. All right, next thing is going to be found in verse 17. And that is probably one of the most important aspects of how to read our Bibles. 119 verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. There's no point in reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating on the Bible, asking God to illuminate to us the scriptures as we read them if we have no intention to live them out. And so if you have no intention to live out the Bible and live out the things that God has called us to, then there's really no point in reading, right? And so this is something I think that we, in our lives, we want God to speak to us about the Bible, but then we don't want to apply any of those truths to our lives after he speaks to us. And so as you read, yes, do all of these other things, but apply it. A lot of times we'll sit in meetings and we'll talk about different Bible studies that Cottonwood has and different opportunities that you have here to learn about the Bible. And I'll be honest, I don't know that we need another Bible study. I think we need to just apply the things that maybe we already know. Apply the things that God is speaking to us. And so what is it that God could be calling you to tonight that maybe you already know or as you begin to study that God is going to reveal, but will you live those things out? And so real practically, my question for you tonight is this. What things need to change when it comes to your Bible intake? The reason I use Bible intake is because some of you may not really enjoy reading, and reading may not be your primary source to intake the Bible, and that's okay. I think that that absolutely needs to be a part of your walk with the Lord and your Bible intake, but if you're better at listening to an audio Bible, then great. Bible intake is what's important. Or yes, I think you can listen to sermons and that can be a part of it, but there needs to be this aspect for you of actually abiding in God's word, whether through reading or hearing it or listening to it over an audio. And so with that, what things need to change when it comes to your Bible intake? How often do you read your Bible? If your answer to that is you read your Bible once a month, once every week, once every, I don't know, then you probably don't value the Bible like you should. And so that's maybe where you need to visit with yourself and visit with the Lord of what things do you need to understand about God's love for you, about the Bible in particular, that would cause you to value it. And then do you meditate, right? What things need to change about your meditation on the Word? Do you give time for God to speak to you when you're reading the Bible? Or are you busying through it, trying to just check it off so you feel better about yourself? Or are you reading it so that God can actually talk to you? And then do you memorize it? Do you hide it in your heart? And so one thing that I would encourage you in this area in particular, that some of this may feel overwhelming. You may feel like you've got to sit in your Bible for an hour to get to this point. And that's not what I'm saying. I know a guy that his Bible intake is very frequent. He meditates on what he reads literally all day, and he memorizes one truth about the Bible a day, and he may only read one verse that day. He does it every single day, and his whole theory with reading the Bible is this, that he's going to read until God gives him a nugget of truth, is what he calls it. And so if that's within the first verse, he stops right there. And I'm not saying this is what everybody should do. This is what this guy does. He'll read till God speaks to him about a nugget of truth, and then he meditates on it, and he memorizes that particular part of the Bible. Well, if he's doing that every single day, and he's been doing this for years and years and years and years, I didn't do the math to try to figure it out, but let's just say he does it every day for a year. That's 365 nuggets of truth that he now knows about the Bible, has memorized those things, and then can move into the next one and is applying them to his life. And he may only read, in some days, 30 seconds. Now, he presses on. Some days he may read for 30 minutes because what he is after is a nugget of truth. For me, what I'm currently doing in my Bible intake time is just on a track of trying to read through the Bible in a year. And so I follow the ESV Study Bibles, Read Through the Bible in a Year program. And I don't always do that, but that's what I've decided to do this year. And I've found it very fruitful and very helpful. And I try to apply all of these different things in my time with the Lord. There are other times that I've read the Bible in a very different way where I've asked certain questions of the Bible as I read it. There is one season I went through and I read the Gospels and I just wanted to know about Jesus. I wanted to know how he approached certain situations, how he spoke to people, who he loved, how he talked to the Pharisees. Why did he talk to him that way? And I put a lens on of trying to discover who Jesus is as I read the Gospels. There's all kinds of different ways that you can read the Bible. And so I don't want you to get stuck on one particular way, but rather maybe ask God how he wants you to read the Bible. The main thing that I want you to focus in on is the fact that you should be reading your Bibles. And that there's all kinds of different ways of how. And so, and then the last one is the application of if you're going to read, read for God to change your life. Read for your relationship with God to grow. Read so that God can free you from your sin and your struggles. Read it in such a way that it is going to change your life, because if you will do this, then we can say that we have a blessed life in God, because no matter what's happening, no matter how life is going, we can gain the Lord if we live our lives the way that God has called us to. Everything else is just an end to that means of trying to gain him and glorify him in this life. And the Bible is the pathway that shows us how to walk that pathway so that we can gain and glorify God. And so what is it for you tonight? Is it a frequency problem? Is it a meditation, a memorization, or application? Where is God calling you to grow in your Bible intake so that you can abide in Christ as you read the word? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to do some extended worship because we had to cut worship a little bit short from technical difficulties. So we're going to worship longer on the back end, which I'm excited about. So let me pray, and then you think about these things, and we'll worship together. God, we thank you for your scriptures. That we're not just reading some book that can't change anything about our lives, but actually is the only thing through your love and through your power for us that does change our lives. And so I pray, God, that we would value the scriptures more than any other thing material that we can have in this life. I pray, God, that we would value our relationship with you more than any other relationship, knowing that our relationship can grow and will grow through reading your Bible. I pray that you would speak to us each individually on how we should be reading our Bibles in this season. And God, give us a hunger and thirst to hide your word in our hearts, to meditate on your scriptures. And God, as you illuminate the scriptures to us, I pray that we would be willing to apply those things to our lives. And God, that we would do all of this for your glory, and that would be the purpose, God, that you would be glorified in our lives. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.